Some of us are outwardly successful, but inwardly feel unhappy and living a life lacking in purpose and meaning. The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer can help you discover what's important to you and how to go for it. For more information or to purchase the book, visit carlgreer.com. That's CarlGreer.com.
You've been given access to receive messages of clarity, guidance, and love. As channeler, psychotherapist, and author, Noemi Grace has an intimate dialogue with the divine on your behalf. Lisa Berry, creator of the show Light on Living, will be co-hosting as live callers ask their burning question on self-love, self-healing, deepening relationships, areas of struggle, and next steps. By simply listening in, you're receiving wisdom that will lead to sacred stability from every channeled message that Noemi delivers. Join us now as we give you access to angels and grace. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Access to Angels and Grace. And access is really, wow, is what we are tapping into, Noemi.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And I'm really looking forward to our show today. It's, we're different than maybe some other shows. We're not necessarily doing topics that we have mastery at. We're doing topics that are as important to us as other people that can transform people's lives. And so we get some transformation every time as well.
I like that we're exploring the topic together, but with our expertise behind us, you know, and we've got.
Yes. I wouldn't say we've mastered, but we have come. Yes, we don't talk about something we have no clue about.
And the divine is always there to help if we don't.
The divine is there to help. And it is something I'm looking forward, because I feel like there's a missing piece of the puzzle on this topic. Does your commitment get in the way of you feeling complete? And I feel like there's a missing puzzle piece for me that's just gonna plop into place, and it's gonna provide a level of clarity that beyond what I have now.
Yes, and you know what? In that title, I'll re-say this title. There's a good one here. Is your commitment getting in the way of you feeling complete? And, you know, we make a lot of commitments, and this is really truly asking ourselves to really look at our lives. Is our life filled with commitments that are serving us or not? And, some of the questions that I was thinking, what would a person be wandering around in life, you know, kind of asking but not knowing that this was the golden question? And they might be saying something like, maybe not even a question, like, oh my gosh, I hate my job, or oh my gosh, this relationship is not making me feel good, or I wish I had a better relationship with my mom or dad, or it's a lot of I wishes, or I wonder why can't I's. Because commitments, if we look at our life, we make commitments at a certain time of our life that at that point, at that particular time, served us in a way. But it's good to revisit them.
Yes, and the idea that we can revisit them, that we can reevaluate, we can hold them and say, okay, how is this commitment honoring me and the other person or the other people? So sometimes we take a job because it's the only job, you know, we had to get out of our job, or maybe somebody lost their job. So maybe they lost their job, so now they're going to take the first job that they can get that's decent, you know, but maybe it's not really what they wanted and it's not really fulfilling, but it was what was available. And so, you know, and that served its purpose, but one can stay too long in that job feeling obligation. To the boss, the company, the learning, whatever it is. So it's that fine. It is a very fine balance, of holding a commitment not in a sloppy way of like, whatever, yeah, I guess I'm kind of committed, but yeah, I'm committed to this, but also being able to flow into that and be present with it and then flow out of it.
I like that. And the one thing that we came up with, there's a reminder of a quote that I was asking myself one time, like, how do I know when this commitment is done? How do I know how to exit this commitment without making like a big break? Like, oh, I broke my commitment. Because that can leave you feeling very, like, with shame. And so I asked this question, how do I know when this commitment is complete? And I came up with this, and it's, I'm committed for the duration until I feel complete. Which then leads to the question, okay, how do we know when we feel complete?
Well, yes, yes. And, you know, when you share, when we were talking, so we started to talk about what was next after our last show on closure. And a listener suggested, okay, now how do I know what's best for me? If I've got multiple, you know, he said if he has multiple choices available, multiple opportunities, how do you know what's best for him? So this is, I think we'll have a few shows on this, but this is part of that. It's like, okay, you know, and it ties in with our closure show from last time. It's like, okay, that sense of completion allows us to honor ourselves and allows us to honor that commitment. Okay, it's complete. And it's not like, not everything is till death do us part, you know? And so.
Well, that's the key word is honor. You said that because we're not exiting a commitment. We are complete. It's something is complete. And when something is complete, it is honorable to move on. In fact, it'd be just a funny story. I took this job and I was working it and I actually resigned. I quit. It was done. But there was this one little part of the job that I didn't feel complete with. So I actually stayed on without being really there hired because there was this one little thing. And it was awkward because I wasn't really working there any longer. I resigned, quit, you know, was ready to go on. But I just really had to get this one little thing done. And so like what you said, there's a balance and there's an honor. So whether it's a marriage, a job, it's honestly any vow or commitment that we've made. It's really how do we feel complete? So if I may, actually, you know what, Noemi? Why don't I read our show description? Because I think that asks a lot of questions and sets the thing. And then we can hear the wonderful pre-channeled.
Okay. Awesome. Okay.
All right. So we, of course, the title, Getting in the Way of Complete. Of what complete looks like. Can interfere with our ability to feel complete when reality doesn't match our picture. The commitment can get in the way of experiencing completion that's already here, like it's here. When commitment overrides your true feeling of completeness, you wind up shifting from your true self into the ego. It's the ego that cannot let go of the commitment even when you have reached that feeling of complete. With commitment in the lead over recognizing our feeling complete, we may experience some detrimental consequences. An overly responsible attitude can keep us lingering where we no longer have the hunger to try something new. In that case, we may lose energy and not get charged up. We may weaken our ability to experience satisfaction and hold ourselves back from the rewards of completion. Staying in the ego will not allow you to let go of those commitments, but moving to a place of coming from love will open you up to perceiving the completeness that is already there. Noemi, I love this quote that you said. The true self is committed to being true to yourself. Oh, the true self is committed to being true to yourself. I just love, love, love that. And so if you listen and follow the feeling of complete, it will bring you to freedom. Freedom to choose what more fully resonates and which brings its satisfaction and celebration. Like, it's already here. And that was the beautiful part, Noemi, is that completeness is there, but we just need to hear it, see it, feel it.
Yes, yes. And you actually have a different show description than I do, so I was trying to read along and I was like, oh,
do I?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that's okay. I love the one. I guess it was the one you wrote, you know, and then it wasn't the final version, but it was really great because I liked some things in there that somehow when I put the final version together, I changed some wording and I actually liked the wording that you had, but I thought, well, that's interesting.
Oh, that is funny. Oh my gosh.
I guess you were complete.
I was. Well, and now all the folks know we're really live on air because there's no rewinding one.
Yes, we're so totally live. And we usually have, we usually both have the same show description, but it goes through multiple passes. So, yes.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Well, no, on commercial break, I'll actually go back and read the other one. It's just,
it's fine. You don't need to read the other one. You can be complete with that one. It was just complete. You know, because I know I took out the quote of myself and stuff. I was like, oh, I took that out.
Oh, well, you know, and that is, yeah, talk about being true to yourself, you know, and that one is, it's really, I love that we're going to be talking about it's back to our little ego and how the ego can't let go of commitments. It's not that our true self can't, because it certainly can. It's flexible and movable and flowing. And it's that ego that sneaks in and says, no, I'm not ready. I'm not doing that.
Right? Yeah. Or I've committed and it's, and that's it. So, so perhaps then the pre-channel message, which is really about honoring yourself and your commitments, because we don't always think about ourselves when we make a commitment. It's sometimes we feel like we have to say yes. Sometimes like it seems like the best thing there, but we don't necessarily feel like we don't necessarily ask the question, does this honor me? And if we don't ask that question, if we start out not honoring ourselves, then that sense of completion, which is about honoring ourselves, we might not feel it when it's time.
Exactly.
So, shall I dive into this?
Yes, please. It will probably go into a commercial break by 30 seconds or so, but that's okay.
Yes.
This is a beautiful message.
Okay, I'm back. All right. Thank you, Lisa. I did love this message. So, and when I sit down to receive the message, I never know what I'm going to receive. I ask the question, what do you want to to share with us for the show? I ask that for the divine. And then it comes out, the conversation comes, the dialogue comes. So here it is. Honor yourself and your commitments. How do you hold commitment? Do your commitments bring you freedom, the freedom to choose, the freedom to be fully you, the freedom to change course if it is in the best interest of your highest, truest self? If you did not answer yes to these questions, it may behoove you to re-examine your commitments. Ask yourself, how can my commitments serve my truest self and highest purpose? Does your answer suggest that you would benefit from shifting anything in your commitments? We suggest that many of you do shift the way you hold your commitments. Some of you hold your commitments very loosely, more like preferences, and it doesn't serve the truth of who you are to vacillate in your commitments. Simply answer these questions periodically. Does this commitment resonate with my deepest truth? Does it serve my truest self? And if you don't know the answers to these questions, you'll have a hard time choosing the best commitments. You will be driven by ego needs and demands rather than choosing what serves your true self. For those of you who can't answer these questions, we encourage you to make it a priority to get to know you. The true you, the deepest you, which resides at the heart of you, and isn't affiliated in any way with your ego. Prioritizing this discovery helps you to serve the truth of who you are, and it will surprise and delight you to discover this truth. Some of you, on the other hand, are quite the opposite. You hold a commitment with rigidity and unwillingness to reevaluate whether the commitment serves your truest self. You have committed, end of story. But we say to you, any commitment that doesn't serve the truth of who you are is a disservice to you and may even harm you emotionally or mentally. Can you answer the questions we posed above? Are you willing to look at your commitments and honestly discover if they serve your highest good and deepest self? You may fear to look at this because you fear change or you don't want to disappoint others. Yet, if you're honest with yourself, it allows you to shift the way you're being and what you are doing and how you are holding commitment. We're not suggesting that you drop all your commitments, that you tell your spouse and children that they're on their own. Oftentimes, the shift that is needed is internal. You can still parent your children, but perhaps you need to honor yourself more and not do things for them at the expense of your own well-being. Often it's how you hold commitment that causes you the most suffering. You can commit to your family, friends, health, career, finances, and also commit to yourself. And we say to you that your commitment to yourself is your most important commitment. You may disagree with this and argue that your commitment to your family or career or anything else is more important. But if you do not honor yourself and your commitments, you can harm yourself and your well-being in the process of keeping your commitments. Honor yourself and your commitments, not by throwing away all other commitments, but by choosing from a place that honors you and others. Take care of yourself first, or eventually you will be unable to fully care for others. We do understand that sometimes you're not able to do this, as when you have very young children, but we say to you, do not sacrifice yourself to raise them. This will not serve them or you in the long term. Be willing to take care of yourself and your well-being. And any commitment that compromises your well-being will eventually hurt you if you don't shift in the way that you are holding commitment. When you sacrifice yourself to keep a commitment, you don't know how to shift to take care of yourself. Ask yourself, what would need to change for this commitment to serve my highest good and well-being? Once you know the answer, look for ways to make that shift. We understand things are complicated for many of you. You may be caring for young or elderly family members, but there are always solutions that honor you more. It may be as simple as making time for meditation or basking in divine love every day. Or a bigger shift may be needed to truly honor yourself. Be willing to shift your commitments in a way that serves your highest and best good and nurtures and uplifts you and cares for your well-being. When you include you in the equation of your commitments, you start to experience more freedom and you will be happier and healthier. Then you can continue to shift throughout the lifetime of that commitment and even know when is the best time to wind down any commitment or even complete it. And it all starts with honoring the truth of who you are and caring for your well-being in all your commitments. In great love, we are committed to you, and we are complete. Namaste.
Oh, that was very kind, too, the ending. Committed to you.
Yes.
That was such a sweet message. And a lot going on in there. When we come back from the little break, I'm going to jump into this. I love the solution, how we can shift and how that can be the solution from the commitment to really having honor in our shift.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
My loves, you know you're here as a soul-led leader to transform this world through the sharing of your passions and gifts. You are here to be in your warrior of light and align your business with your highest self. I'm Rosalind Fong of the show Activate Your Soulgasmic Business. Let's elevate your business to the next expansive level. I invite you to flow into a business soul alignment discovery call with me at rosalindfong.com. That's R-O-S-A-L-Y-N, fun as in have some fun, F-U-N-G, and let's see how I can best hold space for you to align your highest self, magnetize your dream clients, and monetize on your soul mission. I can't wait to connect.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
Do you feel like your emotions are all over the place? That's normal during this abnormal time. There are a number of ways to cope. Maintain a healthy routine, get enough sleep, eat nutritious food, and exercise at least 30 minutes each day. Schedule some time to talk with a friend or family member. And remember, you can always take a few deep breaths to feel more centered.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Oh, well, welcome back, everyone, to Access to Angels and Grace. And we are asking the question, is your commitment getting in the way of you feeling complete? And in that beautiful pre-channeled message, Noemi, I wrote down the first few questions were just so powerful. Do your commitments bring you freedom? Was a big one. And does this commitment serve my highest and truest self, like my highest truth? That was such a big one, because it reminds me of a little story. I had enrolled myself into hairstyling school when I was a young woman, a very young woman. I think I was still a teenager, actually. I think I was still 19. And I signed up, and here I was taking hairstyling school, and there was a bunch of other young ladies there, and this one lady was going through such a rough time, and she herself was a little rough. I was, in fact, a little bit afraid of her. Now, I'm not going to lie. And she, you know, friends kind of thing, you know, hanging, chumming around. And she had said to me, well, she was in a bad situation, but she couldn't get a ride to school or something at a certain time. But could she stop off at my house every morning at like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and then just quietly have tea, and then we'll go together at 8:30? And I, out of fear, out of whatever it was, this commitment, I said yes. Well, I'll tell you, it was only a week that went by, and I felt obligated. I felt all these things that I literally quit school to get out of that. I could not break my commitment to her to not allow her to come over. I literally quit school. And
wow.
Yeah. Now, there's probably other factors there. Probably in the end I didn't really want to go and continue that, but see how we can feel obligated. But that commitment wasn't serving my highest self, and I didn't know how to honorably get out of that one.
Yeah. And that reminds me of the last question that they asked in the reading. I'm looking at it. What would need to change for this commitment to serve my highest good and well-being?
Yes.
And maybe what would need to change is that you had to say to her, I can't do this. I'm too exhausted. I have to get up earlier to have you here. I can't do this. I just need my space in the morning or whatever. When you're 19, you know, yep. You don't have the benefit of decades of experience. So.
That's actually what maybe a lot of people will resonate with even. It's, wow, you nailed that one. That's really good. The benefit of experience. So when we make commitments that they're new to us, we say yes. And sometimes, oh, and this was a highlighted one for me. Sometimes our commitment is in saying, no, I'm not going to ever do that again or ever. And we hold on to that. Our ego says, I said I would never do that. And then the opportunity to grow comes up, and you'd have to do the thing that you said you weren't going to do ever. And now how do you honorably shift from a commitment that you've even made to yourself?
Well, yes. And so yesterday we were in our spiritual community meeting, and my friend Nick was sharing about something that happened in his relationship where for a lot of people, his partner didn't do anything, but there was being, the partner was getting opportunities to do something. They're musicians that he wasn't getting, like, very consistently. Oh. And he, you know, he was feeling bad. Why is she getting all this? And I'm not getting it, you know? Yeah. And, you know, and he asked himself this question, what am I committed to? What am I really committed to? And his answer, I loved it. He said, I am committed to bringing more loving into every moment. And that's his highest commitment to himself. And I thought, oh, I like that. And I told him, I'm going to share on the radio show tomorrow. No, but, and so he was able then to talk to his partner, and he realized, okay, you know, she has actually a higher level of experience and playing as a musician, and he's practicing 2 hours every day and loving it. And he was able to shift out of that bad feeling because of his commitment to himself and his commitment to his partner and his commitment, his deepest commitment, which was to bring more loving into every moment. Whatever shows up, how can he come from love? I just thought that was really magnificent. I said, oh, this is really timely. I'm sure that, you know, it will have relevance on the show.
It's so beautiful. I got goosebumps when you shared his response. What his truest thing was to bringing love into this moment. Because when you know what the highest commitment is, right, you could check in with it and say, okay, mm-hmm. if I act, react, respond, behave, think this way, and it's not in alignment with that highest commitment, then we can easily see it. And it does help us go, oh, well, wait a second. That's not the most loving in this moment. That's a little, you know, and then how do you? Because that, yes. Oh, that was brilliant. Oh, well, thank you, Nick.
Yes. Yes. Nick, he really is very wise. And, you know, he lives his truth, you know, because sometimes, you know, it, stuff can come out, and you know, and then it's like, ooh, okay. But then he brought in his commitment. He remembered his commitment, shifted that, you know. So there's so much of the ego could really run amok with that one. But it's that. So you know, the ego. Go ahead.
Let's use Nick for a second here, because I like this that we have a little backstory. We have a character here. So Nick, I could actually feel when you said, well, he practices 2 hours a day. So his ego might be saying, but the commitment the ego is holding on to is that you practice every day for 2 hours and you're good. You should be getting these offers and stuff. So that ego is committed to like a self-serving in an ego way.
Yeah.
Like an identity.
The poor me, the victim consciousness. And, you know, so he wasn't practicing 2 hours a day beforehand. That's what he's realizing now. He wants to up his game, up his level of play. And the other thing he realized was that his partner, she's much more friendly and bubbly, and you know, and she'll initiate conversation with people, and he's more reserved and realizes that people don't know him as well. So if they're having a gig or something, they might not think of him. So he's also getting out of his shell more and Ooh. Really making the effort to interact and connect. And so Here's a way that he could honor his own commitments to himself even more by being able to ask that question, you know, what am I really committed to? What am I truly committed to?
Yes.
And that
and
core commitment.
And when he is adding love to the moment, that is when he will feel complete. He will, you know, he'll say, oh, this feels good. This is how complete feels to me when I'm aligned and I've shifted from, you know, ego commitment to highest self commitment.
Yeah, yeah. And so it is that discernment too between ego and the highest self, the true self, the deepest self, the real self, whatever you want to call it. But the truth of who you are is not your ego. And so it's that ability to discern and recognize where you are. And ego doesn't always feel yucky, so sometimes you could be an ego and not realize it.
yes.
You know? And so it's that ability to recognize, oh, I'm out of alignment with myself. I'm not in my truth. I'm not in the truth of who I am. And coming back to that and then looking, you know, his truth, being love, being love. And so coming into that and seeing, okay, you know, and, you know, for me, being love, yes, but it's also one of the things for me that I recognize is a commitment to learn from everything that happens. Sometimes, you know, I do a little kicking and screaming first and I don't want to, but it's that commitment to return to that learning from a place of love and a place of wanting that growth and wanting to really be in alignment with myself and connection with the divine.
Yes, it's more like a true, yeah, what is the lesson for you is what your desire, you're committed to learning. Yes, I like that. What if you're,
and healing.
And healing, yes, and being able to flow again. The interesting thing came up in the pre-channel message was these two words for me, sacrifice and compromise. And in making big ones. And we'll sit on this one, I'm sure, not only now and after commercial break too, but this will be coming up for the requested channeled message from you, Noemi. And the sacrifice thing is such an interesting one. Is it the ego that finds honor in sacrifice? Sacrificing is my honor.
Ooh, what a question. Is it the ego that finds honor? So that whole idea of ego honor. Ego finds honor in sacrifice, yes.
So that's where we need to go, because we might mistake that as honor. But ego honor and self-honor are a little different. Yes.
Right. Well, because the ego finds that honor, you know, the sacrifice is something that you can be proud of, and it's not wrong to be proud, but there's a place in which there's something about the way we hold sacrifice that is not self-loving for most of us. Obviously, if you've got a newborn there, yes, and she's crying, you're going to sacrifice your sleep. You're going to sacrifice, you know, taking the shower or whatever it is. You know, you will do that for that child. So sometimes we do need to sacrifice, but sacrifice as a way of life. And in my book, An Intimate Dialogue with God, The Miraculous Power of Unconditional Self-Love, there is a statement in there, self-sacrifice must end. And I thought, wow, that's a bold statement. You know, it's that sacrificing of self, right? Because when we're sacrificing of self, that's the true self. We're sacrificing the truth of who we are for to be of service to someone else, for a certain result, you know, to take this job and maybe advance our career or be in a relationship that we know is not in alignment.
I love that you use the word service. And oh my gosh, that was brilliant. You're right. That's the perfect, boy, you just pulled that right out of your book. You know,
all right,
book.
So give me a question and we'll get a quick one from the divine.
So then maybe that's the one is we could just chat a little bit. There's not a specific question, but more, could we have a little bit more guidance on are we sacrificing this? How to recognize whether we're sacrificing the self or sacrificing from the ego?
Say that again. How to recognize whether we're sacrificing
our true self or sacrificing or ego sacrificing.
Okay. So if the true self is sacrificing versus the ego.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, they're liking this. We will be probably another minute late to commercial. We're obviously going to have to catch up at some point.
We're shifting. There you go.
Yeah. All right. They're ready to go. So okay, Divine, I'm going to turn it over to you. I won't say the usual hello and all that. This is such an excellent question. We thank you, Lisa. We are honored by this question because this is a vital importance for you all to recognize, where are you coming from? Where are you being in this moment, in the next moment, in every moment? Are you in the heart of you? Are you in the truth of you? Or are you in the ego, which is the default? It is how you've learned to live. And you've learned to live at the surface of yourselves until you do the exploration of discovery and the desire to know yourself more. Otherwise, you are going to be in this ego layer, which is a protective layer. It is a layer of public presentation. It is how you present yourself to the world, how you look to the outside world, but it's also a layer of looking. It is about looking. It is about how to present yourself, and it is about how to protect yourself, how to take care of yourself at the level of self-protection, which is important. But there is so much more to you than that layer. And so how to know which layer you're in? Are you in the outer layer? Are you at the kernel, at the core, at the crux? And the ego, the ego's way of sacrificing, oftentimes the ego needs people to recognize that it's sacrificing. It may want to declare that it has sacrificed this for you. It is not doing this thing that it wanted for you because you wanted the other. And so the ego has a way of making sure to announce, maybe not verbally, maybe by the actions or the presentation, to announce the demeanor, to announce to the world or to the loved ones or to those that it is important to announce that it is sacrificing. You know, to tell the boss, yeah, I had big plans this weekend, but yeah, sure, I'll stay and work. You know, to tell your loved ones, yeah, okay, I won't do this thing. I have tickets to a concert, but yes, I'll stay home and clean the house with you. And we realize that might be a ridiculous example, but what we're saying is the ego wants to announce it, and it will announce it subtly, sometimes in a very passive, aggressive way. And it may be silent, and it may just appear to be cooperatively sacrificing, but it will let its intention and need for that validation, that recognition to be known. The true self, when you sacrifice, when someone, a mother with a newborn child, is sacrificing for the child, there isn't a need. Child, you better acknowledge me and when you get old enough to talk about everything I'm doing for you and how I didn't sleep for weeks and months. No, there is not that need. It comes in a place of service and, of course, love. And love for yourself, but love for the other. And there is a service, a way of serving. Are you serving yourself? Are you serving the other? And it honors both. So where you are is easier to determine than you think, because the ego has a way of being boastful. It just likes to be seen. The true self can sacrifice in silence, in the shadows. It does not need to be seen, but it comes from love. And it is not self-serving, but it is honoring. It is honoring the other and not at the expense of oneself, even though it may cost you something. The true self knows how far to go with that sacrifice. So the mother wouldn't not sleep for a whole year just to make sure that every coo and every little noise that she's available for that child. She wouldn't do that. She would know from her heart of love how much to sacrifice. And if she sacrifices too much, she will know that she's gone beyond that point. And so it is a practice. It is a practice to look at yourself and say, where am I? Where am I here now? And be here now in the heart of you. And be here now connected with us. We are complete with much more to say. We love you so much. Namaste.
Beautiful. Very realistic, too. I like this. So we'll do the commercial, but when we come back, there's some follow-up questions, and that was extremely helpful. So we thank the divine for that. Come on back to Access to Angels and Grace.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, light workers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business by tuning in on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Mountain. Join me for your light language activation and let's magnetize and monetize.
So I'm a cat and I just moved in with this new human and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Right. You guys are here with Noemi Grace and myself, Lisa Berry, as we are just really, this is such an interesting topic to me, especially when we bring in that good old ego. And in that channeled message there, Noemi, I love, you know, really share about like the ego likes to be seen. It wants to be recognized. And yes. And a question came up. I love that we're using the mother analogy right now, because I think, well, I've experienced this, so I know. What about when we are serving, we make a commitment and we fulfill that commitment from highest, truest self, and then after the fact, like down the road, something happens and we're feeling suddenly used or it's unfair now, but, and so we have a shift and then we're, now the ego goes, wait a minute, I gave you all my sleepless nights and all this and my, you know, my body and stretched to pieces. And so, but when we did that commitment and fulfilled it, it was the truest self. Or maybe it's a job or a renovation, or you got kicked out of a business deal. But in the beginning, at first it was made with that. But now something's happened.
Well, and it's like we can always slip into ego because ego's there. Ego is that mask that we put on. It is our public face. We can always slip into it without realizing. So while we may have been, you know, in the truth of who we are, in our true self, and in our alignment with ourself and connection and feeling okay and maybe feeling good, the ego itself may have had a different opinion, but we weren't living there, you know, in that channeled message that they said something about importance to discern, to ask yourself, where am I coming from? Where am I? Are you in the ego or are you in the truth of who you are? And so that we can always slip back into the ego, and then ego's keeping score, you know, they're telling me, oh, okay. So they're telling me ego has a scoreboard and it's keeping score and it's writing everything down. It's got like this log. It's writing it down. So as soon as you let ego take over, it's going to bring up the log. 3 weeks ago, I did this for you and you didn't say thank you. And, you know, and it's going to bring up all of that because ego's keeping score.
Yes.
So, but if we're not putting ego front and center, if we're coming from our truth, the true essence, our unique loving essence, then ego isn't having the opportunity to say something. But since it's keeping the scoreboard, it's keeping all the score, then, you know, when we turn the driver's seat over to the ego, sometimes it might bring up some of those things.
That is so perfect. Okay, yes, I love this, the scoreboard, because you know what? You said it earlier too, and I don't know if it was a pre-channel, we were just talking about it, but the ego steps in to protect us, to protect what it believes is our identity. So it's got this little scoreboard. It says, aha, so if I need to refer to this, I'm going to. And but if I don't, then great, you know, we'll just go on our merry way. But as soon as it feels the need to protect. Now, this is my
A beautiful way of saying it, though, when the ego feels the need to protect, because it also wants validation and so forth. So it may be looking for that. But if it feels the need to protect, then yes, it's going to come front and center. So that's, you know, to remember that that is an important function of the ego, and not just to diss the ego and say, it just wants validation all the time, you know.
Right. It needs that to protect its identity. And here's an interesting, I think we can squeeze in one more channel message.
Yes, let's try.
Because this is what came up around that is, so the ego's keeping score and steps on, you know, into front and center when it needs to protect. It says, oh, I'm being called here. I would like to ask the question that's coming through about commitment as a true commitment, or is it a habitual commitment by habit, by default of the ego? Like you just get into a habit of committing and doing this thing to protect yourself. So how to recognize, we can talk about it a smidge this week, have a little more clarity around it, but that really came up going, what if you're just in a constant habitual autopilot, automatic, you're going to commit to something and you don't even know, like, I love the question, where are you coming from? That would help, of course, I think. But yeah, when it's just a habit versus an actual commitment.
Okay. This is great. And I'm loving where we're going in the show. And I think we'll need to continue this topic next time, because what does it feel like to be complete? I really wanted to hear that. We haven't gotten there yet. So we're gonna evaluate more. We're going to elaborate more next time. We'll have more of this in our next show, I think. Of course, you and I need to talk, Lisa, but that's my sense. I love this piece about the ego and the ego commitment and the habitual commitment. Wow. Like those person who have to say yes all the time.
Yes.
That habitual commitment. All right. So a habitual commitment or committing from the true self, from aligned with the truth of who we are.
Yes. Mm.
There we are. Okay, Divine, turning it over to you. And we are grateful for this question and for your willingness to go along with us. We have been giving the impulse to Lisa of the questions to ask, and we are channeling through you, Noemi Grace, and we love your willingness to go along with us. We know you, Noemi, really wanted to talk about feeling complete because it's something that you feel like you need more clarity on, and we'll get there. But right now, we are talking about this important piece of discernment. Discernment is vital. You must know, who am I being? Where am I coming from in this moment and in this day and in this place and in this relationship and in this job? And where are you? Are you in the habit of ego? Ego on many levels is like a habit. It is the habitual outside layer, as if you were going to leave your house and you always reach for that same jacket. Without thinking, always the same jacket. Maybe there are 10 jackets in the closet, but you reach for that same jacket. You put it on, you go outside, always with that same jacket. Ego is that habitual default outer layer of you, which has enormous value, but it is the tip of the iceberg of you. It is such a small tip of you. You are so much deeper and broader and fuller and richer than what you can access at that outer layer. And so, yes, anything that you're doing by habit means that you're not fully present. Driving home from work, you do that habitually. You can find yourself on autopilot. You can find yourself driving and not even know, where am I? Did I make the turn? Did I not make the turn? And yes, you've made the turn that needed to be made, but you don't even remember making that turn. because you are in that autopilot. You're going along in default. And so anything that is habitual can very well go into default, can go into autopilot, can go into that place where you are not so present. You're checked out. And so the habitual committer is someone who is very uncomfortable with saying no. Saying no is too scary. It is that idea, that thought, that fear that you may be rejected, that you may be ostracized, you may not be loved. And so to say yes is easier, to commit is easier. Oh, sure, I have this, but I can do that too. And so you commit habitually, by default, without checking within you. And it is a good habit to check, to get silent before you make a commitment. Get silent, go within. It's as if you're doing a mini meditation to access the depth of you, the heart of you. Dive in, feel it. How does it feel to do this? And sometimes you will commit to something that you don't really want to do because you realize the person you love is in dire straits and they really need this. But someone who can't say no, or someone who has not even considered whether they should, whether they are best served by saying yes or no, is not being of service to themselves, is not honoring themselves. You cannot honor yourself if you're not present with yourself. And that person that's habitually saying yes, that habitually committing, is not being present with themselves. They have lost their alignment with themselves. And so when you're not present with you, how can you possibly make the choice that is best for you? So learning to be more present every day. You know who you are. Are you that person that likes to say yes and or doesn't like to say yes but feels obligated to say yes? Are you the person that says no that maybe could benefit from saying yes? Where on that spectrum, when that scale, do you find yourself? Where are you typically, and where are you in this moment? Honoring yourself is to check within yourself to see, is this commitment of service to all involved, including yourself? Be of service to yourself. Do not be not of service to yourself. We use this example that is often used of the mask being put on your face if it comes down on the airplane and you have turbulence and you need the oxygen mask and you put it on yourself before your child because you must be of service to yourself to be of service to your child. And so we are saying to you, learn to recognize the importance of being of service to yourself and learn to check within yourself to find out, is this best for me? Is this honoring of me? It may be best for someone else. And if it doesn't feel honoring of you, how can I shift this commitment to honor myself? How can you honor yourself? It doesn't mean that you now need to say no. But perhaps you can't give somebody 6 hours. Maybe you can only give them 2 and be honoring of yourself and them. It is that willingness to dance and to negotiate and navigate these waters of self-honoring, self-commitment, as well as commitment to others. We love your willingness to hear these messages because you all can benefit so much, and we love you so much. We love you in fullness and a richness that you can't imagine, and we are showering love on you every day. In great love, once again, we are complete. Namaste.
You know what? This show is really a two-parter. That is for sure.
Yeah.
I have to say what I really, like what really shone through so much in that, and from the question to the end there was, in order to, like habitual commitment, we are not being present. So we, of course, could never feel complete if we're not present.
Yes.
Yeah,
we can't feel that. So that's part of why. Yeah. So maybe next time we could look at what's in the way of us feeling complete, being able to complete, to be complete. And and yes, not being present is certainly something that prevents that sense of completion.
Yeah, that was a big one, because if I'm just on autopilot and default and habitual commitments, I would never be able to be present long enough to even know if I truly felt complete or not.
Mm.
Yeah, that was a big one. I also love be of service to yourself. And doesn't mean you have to say no. It could be a negotiation. That was a nice one.
Yes.
Oh, I like the softening of that, what came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, everybody, what we're going to have to do, because we are at the end of this show, I think we're going to call this part one. I think we're going to go right into part two. If you have any questions about this or would like some clarity or to go deeper or, yes, anything like that, please hop on over to the Facebook, you know, whether you go to Noemi Grace or Lisa Berry, Berry, and leave a comment, you know, or go to the Om Times, our show page, you know, Access to Angels and Grace, and leave us a comment and ask a question, because I think there's a lot more to come here, Noemi, for mm-hmm. the next show.
Oh, yeah, I think so. It has been a pleasure. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, everyone who's listening.
Oh,
we appreciate your presence with us.
We should get in being present. Thank you. There you go. All right. Until the next Access to Angels and Grace, part two. I'm so excited. Thank you, everyone.
Me too. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.